When there's some gathering of people, and we say, well, this is a great day, what a wonderful picnic or whatever it is we're having, it's a pity somebody didn't bring a camera. It should have been photographed. Now, do you see that in this whole thing, there is both a gain and a loss? One school of people are saying it should be photographed. The other school of people are saying, let go of it. We had so much experience of this in Japan because all our students brought cameras and were constantly photographing things. And I had a camera and I was constantly photographing things, but I felt that so long as I had a camera with me, I was somehow distracted from actuality. I had a little box with which I went around grabbing life. Of course, it's great to come back and look at it in the form of photographs, but there's something about the photograph that is inferior to the actual experience. There is an immense fascination in photography, in painting, in reproducing. And reproducing, you see, is the same thing as sexuality. It is reproduction. Only in another way. Because it tells you you're there. You're alive. The thing bounces, it echoes. So the duplicity in all this is one school of religious people say, let it all go, don't be attached. Then they also say, live in the moment. Stop trying to remember everything. You may need a kind of factual memory for your name and address and a telephone number, but don't linger over memories and treasure memories and say, well, I'm going to keep my girlfriend's lock of hair and I'll take it out every now and then and look at it and feel wonderful, you see. That's clinging to life because that memory has got you hooked. It holds you to the past and it holds you to death. Then there's the other school of thought, you see, quite opposite to this, which says, remember to remember. Hold on to it all. Get involved. Keep your girlfriend's hair. Keep all the photographs. You know how in some houses, the piano, everything is completely covered with photographs and reminiscences. Photographed on this occasion, signed on that occasion. Well, you say, look, that person isn't really living. And they're all in the past. But on the other hand, what is life, you see, except there is a memory, except there is an echo? So what I want to point out, you see, is the duplicity of all this. That you don't take, if you're a wise man, you don't take sides in this issue. You do both sides. And that is the meaning of the unity of samsara and nirvana. On the one hand, you let go of everything and you live in the eternal now, because that's all there is. See, memory is an illusion, it's all gone. So everything you know about that makes an impression on you is no longer there. That's the meaning of Maya. There is only the eternal now. There is only the present moment, and never will be anything else. Because even what you're remembering is happening in the present. The memory is in the eternal now, isn't it? See? So it's all really absolutely here. But on the other hand, what fun to drag it out and to make it echo and to get involved and to fall in love and to become attached. It's just like riding a bicycle. It's a balance trick. You suddenly find yourself falling over one way, well, you balance that, you turn into that direction, and you stay up. And so in the same way, when you find yourself becoming too attached to life, you correct that with the realization that there is nothing except the eternal now. Then when you feel that's all right now, you see, you're safe again, once more you go and get attached. Or you get involved, you get concerned about some enterprise, social, political, amorous, scholarly, artistic, whatever it is, you get involved.
and the two always go together. So this is the meaning of this symbolism.
Memory has caught you, and you think it's all really there, and you don't realize there's only the eternal now. And you need to know that in order not to get quite lost. Because if you go out to any one end of the spectrum, you forget you're there. That's sort of a non-existence. You can't really non-exist. You'll always come back eventually. But if you get one extreme too much, you don't know you're there. The real you. You have to divest yourself of all hang-ups, you see, to discover the real you. And realize that there are no possessions, everything's falling away, all your memories are holding on to illusions. Then when you thoroughly understand that, you can go back in.
So you've got a marvelous picture of the world as a sort of systole and diastole. Attachment and detachment, attachment and detachment. And this goes on forever and ever and ever. In not only our kind of time, but in many other kinds of time, and in all sorts of different kinds of spaces. But it's the same fundamental myth, recreated in another form. Now you may say this is pretty monotonous.
Must we go round again?
So, indeed, you see, you say, oh, enough of this. Let's go to sleep.
Let's stop. Time must have a stop, and so you stop. Well, when you do that, you forget that it ever happened. You see? This is a marvelous arrangement. Because then it can start all over again without your knowing that it happened before. So you're never bored. And this is a cure for being tired of it. The memory goes, you see. And so when you come back, there's no problem. At least no problem of boredom, of remembering the past. There are going to be all sorts of new problems. But you won't know you've had any problems before. So that won't worry you. Until you begin to accumulate memories again, and you've had these problems, and it's becoming a bore dealing with problems, and then you get rid of yourself. Called death. It's a beautiful arrangement for keeping everything young and new, and for keeping the universe running without getting tired of itself. And that's the definition of keeping on. See, memory, remember, creates the future as well as the past. You wouldn't know you were going to have anything happen tomorrow unless something had happened yesterday. You figure because the sun rose yesterday and yesterday and yesterday that it will arise again tomorrow. If you didn't remember it, you wouldn't know there was going to be any tomorrow. Because there isn't. Tomorrow is an illusion. So is yesterday. Simply isn't here. Where is it? Bring me tomorrow's newspaper. Now this is perfectly marvelous arrangement, you see. So that you may feel, as you think these things over, that you are almost on the verge of going mad. And what gives you the sense of going mad is that you think you're not in control, and that it's all lost, and someone else is going to take over. Or something else is going to take over. Well, of course it has to. Because, like you say, when you've driven long enough in the car, you say to your wife, "Will you drive for a while, please? You want relief." But something else has to take over. But it's all you. So do you see that the nature of being is constructed in this extraordinarily fascinating way? It constantly renews itself and therefore is worth going on by eternal forgetting and getting rid of itself.